ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
With all due respect, you know it's weird when they come over the top ropes on you.
You win 11 races and don't win, man, I think that looks bad on you.
Hello, everyone. It's episode 6 of Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael alongside Ryan Villopoto. Hopefully everyone had a great weekend. Before we get going, I need to thank our great sponsors and partners, United Motorsports. Appreciate you guys. Of course, Foxo USA, Quad Lot Case, some great people there. So thank you for joining us. Wouldn't be here without you guys. So thank you very much. And Ryan, I can tell you, man, it was a fun weekend off, no doubt. I was looking forward to it. Did you get into anything fun this weekend?
Well, you know, it's always good to have a weekend off. And I'm going to speak for you, traveling every weekend and things like that. I had no racing this weekend for the boys. We actually just hung out, had some neighbor kids over both days. Dad drank some beers and nice. Just cruised, rode some Stasics and just had a good weekend off.
Nice. No rain in Cali. Seems like you guys have been good.
We've cleaned up the rain so far. We'll see what's in store, but I think 10-day show and clear for now. So finally we're able to make some headway on the yard.
Yeah, we got a fun show for you guys today. Some fun topics. First off, we're going to start with the silly season that seemed to have been the big buzz last week with no race to talk about. There were some things going on in the social media worlds of SMX and where riders might end up, a lot of speculation. I don't know how many people have actually absolutely inked their deal just yet, but I think we have a good idea. So we're going to talk to you guys about that. And then shortly after, we got some really fun questions, some interesting ones to say the least. I can't wait to go through that. So you'll definitely want to listen and watch. That's going to be a lot of fun. But busting into the silly season, I think the biggest one, RV is Sexton going to KTM, and you know we've been hearing it. I don't know that it's for sure, but what would be your thought? You think it'd be a good place for him?
You know, I think I think it's gonna be a good place for him. I think that looking back at all these races, I know we've talked about a lot of his mistakes and where he's lacking or where the chink in the armor's at, and we know he's got the speed, he's got the talent, like he's has everything. He's just missing a little piece of something. And maybe that's something that, Roger Roger and Ian over there at KTM, they can piece that together and put that last puzzle piece in play. I mean, I've never worked with Roger other than at MXON, the four times that I've done it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you might be able to, I've rode for Mitch, rode for some really good people as team managers, but I know Roger's a figurehead inside the industry. And does that bring anything to helpful to the table for somebody like Chase? You've rode with him and worked with him.
Yeah, I think he does. I think one good thing about a lot of good things about Roger, but the biggest thing is, dude, he's a competitor. He's an old racer. He's an old ex-champion. He loves to win. And he will do anything that he possibly can to get the job done, especially if you're a guy that is a title tender and you're riding under his wing. For sure, he's going to burn the building down to get you whatever parts and pieces you may need. Now, the minute you let him down, You know, he won't give you that effort, I don't feel like. But I loved working with him because of that. Ian Harrison has kind of taken his role here, it seems like, in the last couple of years. But nevertheless, I think for all intents and purposes, I think that Chase is going to end up there. I think it'll be good breath of fresh air for him. For sure. Do I think it's the magic answer? Of course not. You know that better than anyone, RV. There's no magic answers.
There's not. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, like with Eldon too. You know, like obviously Eldon's team trainer has the whole Baker's factory facility out there in Florida. So I presume he will be riding there. And I do think Eldon can help him too on that end too. Like, you know,
do you?
I do think he can. Put it this way, whatever he's doing right now clearly hasn't found that missing piece. So maybe Roger, Ian, KTM, the help of those boys. I mean, like mentioning to, or back to what you mentioned about Roger, you know, putting in 110%, like we just got to watch, and I know we were talking back and forth over text about their new building. I mean, it's like F1 racing, MotoGP, looking at that building, $53 million spent. You see the machine room. I mean, Roger said, he goes, this is my favorite place in the whole building.
Yeah.
He's in that machine
room.
So
I love
it. He loves it. And KTM, you know, they are able to make very quick moves when need be. And I know that firsthand by racing with Dunge. They'd have an issue one weekend, or he would be a little off a weekend. And then all of a sudden we show up a week or 2 weeks later and they've fixed the problem or have a new part or what, like they move very quickly. So it could be a very good move for him, a move that he's been potentially needing.
For everyone listening, tuning in to RV and I's podcast here on Title 24. That was great what Ryan said. So all of you guys know, and this is where KTM really made big gains, especially in what you just referenced when you're racing Dunge, is the difference between an Austrian brand and the Japanese brands. If you wanted to change something, there was a chain of command on the Japanese side where you had to send the parts and pieces to Japan, and they had to go through all the R&D, the load work, make sure it was safe to race with, where, you know, Austrian comes in and if they find something better, the hell with it. I feel like they feel like it's safe enough, they're going to put it on the bike the next weekend. And I feel like they had a lot of success because of that. To your point, you made up a absolutely great point of why they were so good. So, that was certainly a strong suit and a feather in their cap of making their bike winning. Another guy, dude, I don't know if I believe this. And as I saw Joe Shimoda might go to Honda, I haven't even heard that, but
yeah, the rumor mills are stirring the pot out there. That's for sure. You know, I think, look, you gotta, Hunter's moving up, right? Moving up to 450 after outdoors. Jet's already going. So there's a spot open. You know, as a rider, like from Joe's standpoint or, you know, mine or yours, if you're in that position, you're watching Hunter, you're watching Jet, they're both riding obviously very well. They're both winning. There's a bit of, I don't know if jealousy is the word, but you know, like, well, what am I missing? What do they have that I don't have over here, or vice versa?
Right.
So, you know, he's come from Factory Connection and then end up at Mitch's at Pro Circuit, and definitely had some great results, but obviously he wants to do better. And you're always kind of looking to see, okay, well, what are they doing? Like, maybe I need to try that. So we'll see. I haven't heard anything. There's nothing inked. Like I said, just as all, these are all rumors, silly season rumors. So we're going to, you know, just trying to go break them all down and kind of see where we end up. But it would be a big shakeup if that were to happen.
I heard Kitchens might be like, I heard he's on a contract year. He might be wanting to bounce. I'll go ahead and say that I think he should stay where he's at. I think, you know, that program is good. That bike is awesome. Despite maybe if there's other things that he doesn't like about the program, I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone. I'm just, this, my outside opinion is I feel like he's in a good spot. He's getting better. I think he should get it. If they're willing to hire him again, I think he should stay put. He's going to get better. I think he's going to improve, and I think it's been a good year for him. Why stop? Why pick up and go somewhere else? I don't I don't know that anywhere else that he goes is going to be better than what he's on now from a bike standpoint.
Yeah, you know, very well true. Could be that he might go somewhere where the bike is maybe equal or not as good. But I know Levi a bit on a personal level, know, but to your point, I have not talked to him, very recently. Don't know the insight of at all, but from the outside looking in, I could maybe see like, hey, let's make a jump here. Let's get to a bit of a smaller program, not smaller in general, but less riders, and maybe that he could find something that he's missing over at Star. I mean, I know they have everybody knows they have a ton of amateur guys. They have a ton of, premier lights guys and 450 guys. There's a lot going on over there. So if he's looking for, I guess, less chaos, that could be something, a reason to move. But Star's got a great program. I mean, there's really not a bad program out there right now, to be honest.
No, I feel like all the bikes are good. I agree with you. Then you got Anderson's up. I heard that Barsha signed 2 years with Gas, so if that's the case, good for him. That's great.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's all getting up there. I think Justin's close to 30 now, or is 30. To go ahead and sign up for another 2 years is pretty cool. To be honest, he's probably riding the best he's rode in his career.
Yeah,
actually, totally. To be honest, in the 450 class, midway through this season, I don't know if they found something on the motorcycle.
He said that they found something like leading up to Daytona, and dude, ever since then he's been crushing it.
Yeah, like he's been riding super super well. He's putting himself in good positions. I mean, it could have gone either way at Indy there, and he would have got his first win in over 12 months, I believe. And so we'll see. I think that's a good move for him. He seems like he's happy where he's at. I think Gas kind of has this boutique of a feel look, with only one, mm-hmm. with only one 450 guy, two lights guys. So it's by far the leanest program in the paddock, but also still factory, still great motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And you can see that Pierce Brown winning Seattle, a heat race in Seattle. It's just putting like those guys, if that bike can go for 6 minutes and win a race, it's the rider's problem why it's not winning the main event.
that's right.
It is. That's how I believe. If that sucker went 6 minutes, it can definitely go 12 minutes.
I love it. So, you know, Cooper isn't going to be teammates with Sexton.
that's going to be an interesting dynamic.
I don't know that for a fact, but if I was a gambling man, I think Cooper's gone. You'd be a fool if you were the other manufacturers not wanting to have him. I mean, he could land anywhere. Cowie, he could land Honda. I don't know that he would land Honda. I think Honda's, I would assume Honda's in a good spot with the Lawrence brothers.
Do you think he ends up back at Star?
I think I think that would be the best place for him to go. And the reason that I think it would be the best place for him to go is the history that he has with that team. I mean, you go back to his early years on the 250 class, they had a lot of success. They did really well together. I think that team has strengthened since then. They've got more support than they've ever had. They got a beautiful facility. And I think they're better than what they were when he had a lot of success. So you just have to wonder if you're a Cooper Webb, those feelings that you get and the past success that you had with a team, and if he didn't leave there on bad terms and he was just going to factory Yamaha, remember when he went to the premier class, you got to figure that seems like the best fit, where he's at in his career. I think he should go there.
To back that up is you get a certain point in your career that I do think that, like, and Eli made that switch from a factory corporate, not that Star's not corporate, but it is privately owned by Bobby Reagan, and they have full factory support, but they're still a satellite team, if that makes sense. They're factory, mm-hmm. but they're still ran by Bobby Reagan in their own program, right? So I do think that Cooper getting a little, long on the tooth. He's getting a little bit older. He's been doing this for a while. I think a good change to go from from the corporate side, from the factory side, to a privately owned team opens up quite a few different options from that may make it just more fun in general. Not so much red tape involved with changes, things like that on the motorcycle. Just in general, I think it's a less, I don't want to say less stressful situation, but it's not corporate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. And you know what, Star is kind of to your point earlier when you're talking about how KTM was able to make changes on the fly and do things. I think that Star has that ability to do that as well. You know, if they want to change a suspension manufacturer, they can do that. If they want to make a new part and piece and run it, that, you know, to your point, them being a privately held team, not owned and operated by factory Yamaha, you know, they have that luxury of doing that. So I think that's one of the reasons for their success. I believe in what they're doing. I've said it. I've been vocal about it. I love their program. I love what they've built. You and I were talking about it over the weekend. When you were talking, you really like what Red Bull KTM has built. And Star has that, you know, not to that level, but again, you know, they're a privately held team and they have a really nice facility. I love, you know, they have everything is there for you to succeed, whether it's on the bike, off the bike. It's a full blown like franchise place. It'd be like, you know, playing football, playing basketball, baseball. So,
I think the also too, what really helps these teams and like KTM not being private, but they're corporate, but still, I think a big thing is Star being there at the farm, right? They have the dyno, they have the suspension room, they have all that. Hey, let's go out and test something. It's no good. Instead of being like, okay, hey, we got to run back to the shop. We'll come back out tomorrow if we don't have these shims or this shim stack or whatever the case, whatever their change, this linkage, maybe it's the shop, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. They just make it, they take the bike back to the shop, roll it in, change it, and they're back out on the track in literally 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on the change they're making. I think the accessibility of being able to change things on the fly, is also to the point of making quick decisions and quick movements like KTM did when they were developing, coming up into the premier class. That's what our racing is. Our racing, it moves that quick, right? We're 17 races in 18 weekends and they're back to back to back to back. So you got 2 days to figure out a part or figure out a new setting. So being able to streamline that and having everything in one location, I think is huge. It's the way of the future.
So if Coop didn't go, say that Coop didn't go to Star and then Anderson's up and he doesn't stay at Cowie, and just say they like, I don't see Anderson moving to anywhere over to this side to Tally. He's having a kid, which is awesome. And I think like, I'd like him to stay at Cowie. I think for his career, where he's at, I think that would probably be his best bet. Like I said, I don't see him moving to Tallahassee. I don't think if he was to ride for Star, I don't think Star is going to give him the luxury like Eli has, where Eli is able to stay in Colorado. So that's my opinion on that. I think Anderson stays. I think that Coop will probably, I think he should end up at Star. That's my thing on the 450 guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I think watching Jason, I think everybody was expecting him to do a little bit better. You know, I know he's got a Triple Crown win under the belt, a race anyways. I think that Jason, I was expecting him to do better this year. I'm a bit bummed for
him. He's got speed.
He's got speed. Yeah. Like just leading into the season and watching practice at A1. It seems like to me watching at A1 when he did that complete front flip. That seemed like he hasn't really, in my opinion, recovered from that for whatever reason, whatever that is. He was fine. He wasn't hurt, race that night and everything else. But I don't know. I was expecting more out of him.
I think that's enough for the silly season. Don't you think? Like,
I
don't know, dude. Like, I don't get into it. I know kind of like our sport, they love going back and forth and the what ifs. And, you know, I don't know. I call me plain, whatever. I'm just like, whatever. You guys go where you think you need to go and let me know when it's over. So, you know, we can turn the page. I don't get into silly season much.
I think it's a lot of it's a lot of noise, and for me and you, Ricky, and being living it and have been in it for so long, like we've seen enough of this where it's like the cards are going to fall where they're going to fall, and we can try to read into it as much as we want, but as for myself, that's grew up in this industry and raced it and been around everybody. It's cool to debate it for a little bit, but ultimately, nobody knows what's going on. They try to keep it somewhat secret, and I'm just excited to see where everybody lands up, because that's a big shakeup for, like, say, next season. Guys learning new bikes, learning new team members, vice versa. It just makes it that much more interesting for next year.
Switching gears, so we don't have a race to download because of the off weekend. We got a grab bag full of Quadlock questions of the week. Oh my gosh, dude, you and I are just sitting here. We're having our little group chat going on before we're doing this record. And I honestly, my mind was like blown reading some of these, not necessarily questions, but their view on things. And we got some fun ones for you guys. You're going to love it. We got our questions here, Ryan. I think I'll nail the first one here. Go for it.
All right, from C Nash, we have here. I don't buy Cooper's mentally tougher than Eli. You want to talk mentally tough? How about Eli being cool as a cucumber before last year's last MX race for the title, trailing Sexton by quite a bit, and with more than half the race complete, Eli hits beast mode and blows by Chase for the win. That's the ultimate pressure, and Eli handled it superbly. Yeah. I think both are about equal in mental toughness.
Yeah. Okay. You want me to take this one first?
Yeah. So. Why don't you run off with that one first, and then we can come back and because okay. I know we've talked about this.
Okay. Well. When I was saying about mental toughness, and I said that Cooper, I thought Cooper is better mentally than Eli, and that's not taking anything away from Eli. And I also said that Eli has the advantage for the championship. So, but C Nash, I was talking about Eli and Cooper, not Eli and Sexton. I agree with you that Eli is better mentally than Chase Sexton is. I mean, he proved it. To your point, you bring out a very valid point. He proved it in the MX season, 120%. I can't debate you on that. And I wasn't. I was specifically talking about the two guys that are tied for the championship. And I still stand by my word. I think Eli has a mental edge. Cooper has a mental edge over Eli. I think myself personally, I do feel like that bike that Eli is better than Cooper, than what Cooper is on. I think that Cooper is struggling a little more. RV, you know this. It is hard as hell to be in a position that Cooper is in to not have what he thinks is the best bike and still be in the fight. It every single weekend showing up, and whether you get lucky, you got to be in the position to get lucky. I don't know. But C Nash, my man, I wasn't comparing Sexton and Eli. I was comparing Cooper and Eli. So that argument is out the window.
Yeah, no, I think so. And we kind of talked about this pre-show a little bit of you know, Cooper puts himself in a great position. He doesn't have a ton of wins per season a lot of the times. But he still ends up in the championship fight. And then with the title twice now. Right. So
yeah,
that we were kind of, like I said, we were debating about number of wins. Eli's got 50 wins, right? He said 50 wins is what we were talking about. And two supercross. That's a lot of wins for only two championships. Coop nowhere near the wins, but also two championships.
Yeah, he's got, I think he has 20 wins, I believe Coop has. So, yeah,
big difference.
Race win per championship, Cooper's the better guy, you know?
And what are we – and we're all out here for. Who what does everybody remember at the end of the season? Who won the championship?
Thank you.
You go back to, okay, well, he won 11 races. Well, he just still didn't win. If you win 11 races and don't win, man, I think that looks bad on you.
I love it, dude. See, we're going to have so many good questions next week. We're just giving these people some serious ammo. All right, next question. I'm going to read it for you. You're going to react. This is from EN_J_P, NJP, or NJP, or whatever you want to call it.
There you
NJP.
Go.
There you go. I find it frustrating that Cooper Webb, the slowest of the title contenders and slower than riders who aren't in title contention, is leading the 2023 championship and has the same number of championships as Eli Tomac. How do you rate Cooper Webb against the greats of the sport? And do you think that the point system is set up correctly? Should there be a bigger reward for a win? Should Eli Tomac have a bigger lead since he has won 5 of 8 this season?
You know, I mean, we can do, okay, so change the points and give the winner a bigger gap. Now we'd have the fans bitching on the other side. Well, there's no race at the end of the season, and because the points are messed up and Eli ran away with it. The guy with the most wins runs away with it every time. So yeah. I disagree with that on the side of like our points is you know, messed up, or I think it's good the way it is. It's keeping our racing close. I'd love to see, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I love to see that the points are so close coming down.
Yeah.
It's exciting, right? So
totally.
And back to that is, yes, we race for championships. We don't, I mean, race wins also. Don't get me wrong, race wins also, but we race for championships. That's what we race for. So, you know, it's interesting to read through some of these comments and see what, you know, where they're coming up with this stuff. But
this guy, he must not have been a Dungy fan. Because Dungy would podium you to death. He would absolutely podium you to death. One of the Supercross titles he got, I can't remember which one it was. He didn't win. I think he only won like what, 3 races that year or whatever. Yeah. So I mean, I know it's weird to this guy, and you don't like it, and you're frustrated. But I back you. It's all about championships. And if anyone like I'm okay, like with these guys having more race wins than me or whatever it is. But what I, to your point, everyone remembers championships. And you know what? Cooper isn't that slow. He's been, we could dig, we could go Fowler's Facts. I'm sure there's been some races where he's turned the fastest lap in the main event. So that cancels out him being the slowest of the title contenders on an average, maybe, but he hasn't been the slowest every single race. I don't believe.
And I also, in part of our racing now, I personally think it's changed in the way of like, I can go back to a few of my series where it's like, I won 11 plus a championship. It is weird to look down at 17 races and look, oh, wait, 3, I think Jason Anderson, same thing, 3 wins, championship. Cooper, 3 wins, championship. It is weird to look at somebody only winning 3 races out of 17 and winning a championship, but it goes back to showing you like also that consistency is a huge, it's almost as important as winning the races, and yeah, maybe more important totally than winning the races. So there, that's what I think has kind of changed. Like you can look back and say, okay, well, Cooper's slow and this and that, but also I look back at and being calculated, like how can you get through 17 weekends and 18 without making huge mistakes, tweaking an ankle, twisting a knee, putting it on the podium every weekend. Like that's all part of the game that has to be played. And I think that's what's a little bit different than when I raced. I had me and Dunge and James sometimes, but me and Dunge, we were never off the podium.
Yeah.
You know, 9 times of 10s, we were on the podium. So now it's just different. Like, okay, some guys, I feel like, okay, I'm off this weekend. I'm just going to ride. I'm going to ride to the best finish I can do. And I'm going to pick it up next weekend. I didn't feel like I had that option back then. It was like do or die almost for me. Like I just felt like I had to win in that situation. Maybe these guys feel the same way. I'm just going back and watching. There's some sense of, you watch some races and you go, he's super urgent right now. He knows he's got to get to the front, but then you'll sit back and watch him. He doesn't look that urgent. He's sitting back. Maybe the track's not coming to him. maybe the bike's a little off. Eli tweaked his neck. There's a lot of things that are going into it. And I think they're being more methodical than maybe I ever was.
Yeah, I don't know. You're pretty, dude, you're with all the champions you got, you got to give yourself some credit, bro. You were a bad dude. So go. All right. You read the next. I'm telling you guys, I told y'all at the top of the show, we got some great questions for you. We hope that you're enjoying it as much as we are. I mean, we've been chuckling about this for the last 2 days leading up to the show. So hit me with the next one, my man.
Here we go. We have spray paint_by_Dan. Is Tomac not overhyped? 49 and only two. So I'm assuming 49 wins and only two championships. And his fans think he's the best racer on the track. Cooper Webb has two titles in half the time Eli did, and Cooper is potentially on his way to becoming a three-time champion. Is Eli not overhyped? He passed Ricky on wins, but Ricky had five championships by the time he had the wins Eli has now. Not sorry, Eli is not as great as his fans make him out to be.
Yeah, that, I mean, it kind of goes to what you were talking about earlier, and listen, that's the crazy thing, and he's kind of like, if you look at ET and you look at Stu, they both have 50 wins. They're both only for I say this, they only have two championships with 50 wins. You have four, I have five, and we have less race wins. I mean, that's what we did, you know, like we, you know, for me, it was all about the championship, and not that it wasn't that for Stu, and not that it wasn't that for Eli, you know, I'm sure they want to win the championship, but they weren't able to do it as successful as we were. So I don't think that Eli is overhyped. I certainly don't think that. He's great. He's won a lot of races. They're sneaky seasons, if you think about it. McGrath kind of said that. I'm like, man, you're kind of right. Like, he's won all these races, but no titles. And that's where I think that Cooper Webb doesn't get the credit. And that's why I know a lot of people think that I'm always, you know, is up as six because I'm talking about him, but that's just the difference. Look at his race win ratio compared to his championship ratio. And that, I mean, you have to recognize that. You don't have to like them, but you have to respect it in a way. That's what I think, dude.
Yep, I 100% agree. If you can win half that, or win those in half the time, like it, what does that tell you about some of these riders like yourself, myself, yeah. Dunge, for example? Like, you know, we did it in such a short time. It was a very condensed. Yeah. Race career, busted out a ton of wins along with a ton of championships. I think the big thing is if you look back and on the off years that they don't win. So as in my mentality, the way I think of it, like, is every season we showed up, I was in a champion. If I wasn't hurt, I was in the championship hunt. And I think mentally living inside that pressure cooker is substantially way harder than, say, you're having an on year this year and you win the championship. Next year, you're not sniffing the championship. You're winning races, but still, like, your mentality is, I'm almost racing week to week at that point. You're not, the big picture is championship. Your mental side isn't in it because you're out of it. You know, so I think that brings a whole another set of pressure that's substantially more to back it up every time. Like, it's really hard to back up championship and then back it up again. Like, I was able to do it four times in a row. I think you did it three times in a row, and then an off year, right? And then two more.
Yep.
To go back to back to back, anybody that's done it,
it's hard,
it gets
dude.
Harder and harder and harder to stay up on top of the peak of the mountain. Yeah.
And you made a good point. You made a good point too. Like, we were strumming through some of the questions, and they're like, oh, Eli doesn't win all of those, or he doesn't come through the pack like he used to. And people tuning in, like RV was saying how, well, yeah, but look at, well, number one, Eli's older, but look at the field. The field has caught up to his level. And that's probably why.
You know? Exactly. I made that comment in pre-talking, pre-show was, if you're at the top, 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 you're the guy, it's really hard for you as the guy to get to the next, to where's that next bar, right? But everybody else from second down, they're like, we know the bar. The bar is Eli. So if I can get to that, I can beat him. And if I get to that, I will beat him. But now Eli's in a bit of no man's land where it's like, he's got to mentally have the strength to push himself to that next level. And a lot of times it's not easy to do. Like, not that you get comfortable, but I'm winning. I'm getting older. I'm on the tail end of my career. The last thing I want to do is end up getting really hurt. You know, like, so I think he's happy with where he's at. And he's also, he's older, being able to manage the race different than he did probably 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's different. It's just different.
Well, he's a 7-time SMX champion. He's got 4 MX 450 titles. He's got 2 SX 450 Supercross and 1 MX 250 title and also SX Lights title. So he's, I mean, listen, he's got a lot of championships. That's a lot.
He'll go down in the record books. He'll go down in the record books.
Yeah. All right. So quad lock question of the week. And this is a good one. Oh, man. All right, here we go. Rick Santiago. Rick, really appreciate you, bud. This is going to be so good. Ryan, y'all, with all due respect, I love when someone starts out their first sentence with all due respect, you know, where they come over the top ropes on you. Rewatch in the whoops. You say Jordan makes the pass, ? Where do you see a pass, ? Hayden jumps into the right corner before him and holds his line. 58 should have held up, but no, he clips 238's rear, and that's where it all starts. That's a fact. Go watch it again. And because I'm pointing out a fact, I'm a keyboard warrior. So... how you feel and what really happened are two different things. Should 238 and 58 calm down? Yes, but watch who actually enters the corner first. What is Deegan supposed to do? Stop time in midair after the last whoop and check up? Take it away.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I mean, okay.
Yeah, Rick.
Rick at Santiago. So we'll break this down a bit more now that we have some more time.
I can't even freaking remember the pass, dude.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. So we got just Smith going up the outside. So right here, in my opinion, my personal opinion, Deegan should have just held his line on the inside. That's number one. Came through the whoops. You had Jordan Smith going left side of him, coming on the outside. And he runs them high. Okay. That's Jordan Smith's fault also, but I can go back to, I reference Ben Townley and myself. We raced a whole outdoor series and I can look back and say, I would have held my inside line there. And then they went cat and mouse back and forth. Deegan wouldn't have had to worry about him in the next right-hander because he wouldn't have been thinking about him going outside here. Right. So like it slowed Hayden down also. And then the cat and mouse here, personally, I just think that they were both in the wrong. Jordan, as being an older rider, should have been more of aware of the situation. Okay, look, I'm going to blow past the guy in the whoops next lap and set him up. He should have just, looking back at it, he probably looking back now, I should have just waited and I should have waited up and just blew past him in the whoops. That didn't happen. They got into a cat and mouse game. It wasn't all Hayden's fault, but I do think a little bit was on Hayden. And then I think that also, Smith just wasn't that smart in that scenario either. And it just compounded into each other and then ended up going down.
There you go.
Do you think, Ricky?
I mean, listen, because Hayden is a rookie. Yeah. He went up there and he held Jordan up there. But right here, okay, going through the whoops, Jordan had a ton of speed. Maybe Jordan was anticipating that Hayden wasn't going to hold him up in the corner like that and just hold his inside line like you were referencing, RV. What Smith should have done, in my opinion, looking back is, okay, you're not going to be able to make the pass. Slow up and wait till the next lap. You, to your point, RV, you're going to go blowing by him. He has a hell of a run right here. So fast. Just chill. Now when 58 starts looking back, then now he starts playing the game too. And then as an experienced rider, that's where he should have taken the high road, to your point, and just waited it out and passed the guy.
I do have to bring this up. The only one that really touched anybody, they played cat and mouse. He ran him high after the whoops. Okay, not dirty in my opinion at all. Not dirty at all. I would have just held their inside after the whoops. But Hayden was the only one that really came into the side and, you know, hit Jordan after right before Jordan went down. So looking back at that, teammates, I get it. It's a heat race win. I've done all these things, but Hayden totally teed him up and hit him. That's where it's like, okay, you know, you can't not talk about it because before, like, Hayden ran him high after the whoops, clean. Next turn, next right-hander, they played cat and mouse, didn't really touch each other at all. And then you see Smith coming up the inside and then Hayden braking at the last second and then automatically taking a hard left and teeing him up into that left-hander. That's where it gets, you know, it starts to get sticky. And especially for me as teammates, I just, you know, another rider, go ride it. I mean, that's racing. I think the teammate thing is where it gets very sticky.
Listen. I know you ain't being paid by Deegan. I'm sure not being paid by Deegan. I'm not being paid by Jordan Smith. I mean, I don't think you're being paid by Jordan Smith. We have no reason to hate on any like on Smith, on Hayden. We're just telling you the way that it went down. You might not like what we've said, but we've raced at that level. We know what happens in moments and situations like that. Now, if you have raced at that level, Mr. Santiago, I apologize, but I've never raced against you. RV, do you remember him?
I don't think I have. I don't think I have Mr. Santiago on here. Rick and Santiago, I don't think so.
That is, Jordan had a potential pass being made, there's no doubt. And then Hayden brought him up high. And that you RV explained it perfectly. You were right on your analysis, and we appreciate your question, Ryan or Rick. You're going to get a free phone case from Quadlock. And dude, you've had us rolling all week about this. We were just like, oh, we can't wait. You win the question of the week. So
that's right.
You came across as you were very upset at what we had to say a couple of weeks back while we were breaking it down. We still love you. We appreciate you tuning in to Title 24 each week, and you win the Quadlock case. So slide into our DM. We'll get you all dialed in. They'll take care of it and walk you through the steps. And you're going to love the Quadlock case and make a great product for whatever you need. You can check them out online. We got one more, Ryan, that I think you're up.
All right, we have I think it's Bro Hero.
Is it
Hero?
Yeah.
Is that something. How you say it? Yeah. So, all right. So, RV, do you regret that you chose to end your career before changing to another brand like Tomek did? RC, do you regret not racing both coasts in the 125 class? So, I'll start it off with yes, I do regret. I don't regret retiring per se when I retired. I think my opportunity to switch brands would have been at the end of my career. Yes, I would have prolonged it, would have probably got another 2 years out of it. I've said this on the show before. A lot more money. Yeah, that's right. I've said this on the show before in some other interviews that, I am a little jealous of Eli in the respect that he noticed and was able to recognize that where he was he wasn't happy. He was still winning races, still winning championships, but wasn't happy. So he made that change. So I think for me personally, I think I could have also too, making a change at say 27 years old is roughly when I retired, making a change at 27 and then racing into 28, 29 years old. I'm sure every listener, you know, has the same feeling. You're young and dumb at 24, 23, 25, like that. You start getting 28, 29, you start thinking a little bit differently.
Racing, you know, differently, for sure.
Racing differently. So there's a lot of things I think that could have been good for me for that change and prolonged my career. Who knows if I would have won or not, but I think, I mean, look, hey, I can't rag on myself too hard. I ended my career on top, you know, with a ton of wins, ton of championships. So, but yes, to the question, I would have liked to, I do regret that a little bit, trying to wish I would have switched teams and see what else was out there.
Do I regret racing both coasts in 125? I don't know that I regret it, but I do think that it certainly would have helped my career in a certain way. I would have gotten more experience. One thing I do wish that I would have done, RV, is I wish I would have, and we've talked about this, I wish I would have raced when I was racing East Coast in 98. I wish that I would have raced the 250, which is now 450, in the opposite coast. Looking back, I think I had the title on lock. You know, as long as I could control my emotions in the 250 class, if I got a good start and was running up with the top dogs, you know, that would have been the biggest challenge and not getting hurt. So that's one thing that I wish that I could change. But
do you think that riders today, when they like Hampshire, when he moved up to do Daytona, won a heat race? I know the bikes are much faster than what you know, not much faster, but a bit faster, a lot better than what we ended up racing. But do you think you would have been ready to step up and race? I just think that the riders are more mature, even coming out of amateur now, like the Deegans and the Rider D's and all these kids that we look back, you go to Loretta's now and you watch the 50 class and you're like, holy shit, that dude's scrubbing and he's jumping 70 feet. Like,
yeah.
Like you look around, dude, I could barely use the clutch on my 60.
Yeah.
And I got put on a 60 at 6 years old. And my dad's like, here, second gear, ride around in an oval. You know, and then I stood up on top of the podium and win a Supercross championship. Now it's just a whole different thing. Like these kids are at Loretta's and they're like little professional pros, like on 50s.
Yeah, it is incredible the talent that these young guys, they have and how experienced they are and how skilled they are, especially on Supercross. It's cool to watch. I love watching how fast they are at the young age. At the time, I felt like I was ready. You know, I feel like, fortunately for me, I feel like I was pretty experienced for my age and where I was at. I had a lot of success in 97. Winning the motocross championships certainly excelled my learning curve and helped me be more prepared in 98. That's the only reason I feel like maybe I could have handled the load of racing the opposite coast in the premier class. Certainly would have given me some experience going into the 99 season. But I want to ask you just I both of us retired at a very young age, or said retired from racing, I should say. If you had did just tease our viewers, watchers, listeners, how much money you think you walked away from 2 year deal? Just ballpark.
Oh, 2 year deal. Let's go. And I always like to throw in the wins, you know, got to throw in wins because win bonuses are huge. These guys between, you know, for me, they were, you know, for myself, you start adding in your manufacturer bonus, you start adding in your gear, you know, whatever gear you're wearing. You start adding in all these other bonuses. I mean, you can walk away with a night of 150,000, depending on, you know, maybe a little bit more. So I always looked at race wins because that was, you know, great for championship. The bonus for championships, obviously substantially bigger than a race win. But I tried to break it down into just week by week by week and say, hey, look, there's 150 grand on the line tonight and somebody's going to take it. So I looked at it like that. You know, I looked at it per race. But no, to answer the real question, how much I left on the table, I'd say over the 2 years, let's say I won a couple of those championships, you know, probably all in five, six a year.
Yeah. That's what I walking away. Cause like people are like, do you ever regret retiring so early? And like, man, sometimes I do. And like, when you think about the money, you're like, man, an extra 10 mil would be nice, but I don't know. Like I'm not trying to sound cocky and I I don't know that that would have made me happy, like today sitting here where I am now. You know,
so I can agree with you on that. So you can go and play, you know, what's it, devil's advocate on it and look at, okay, so say I did do that, would I have, you know, been any, would it have changed my lifestyle today? And the answer to the question is no, it wouldn't have changed my lifestyle today. Now, would it be nice? Hell yeah, it'd be nice. But yeah, then you really start to break it down and to be like, okay, to think about what I would have had to keep doing to maintain that. And then also, you know, winning's not guaranteed. So to keep doing that, I think I tried to be as smart as I could. I'm not the smartest guy out there, but I was like, hey, I tried to stockpile everything that I had and not make dumb decisions. Sure, we all make dumb decisions every now and then, but it wouldn't have changed where I'm at today. So I look back at it and say, you know what? You know, that's par for the course. I could have kept racing more than two more years if I wanted. I could have ran her down into the ground, you know, and
yeah,
still collected money. But then your legacy goes away with, you know,
that's right.
Everybody remembers me here at the very top. You know, then I start pushing over the threshold and coming down, and it's like, okay, well, pretty soon everybody's like, oh, he's a fifth place guy.
It's a different time too. Like, it's a different time in racing in a good way. So like the longevity, I think it's pretty cool that these guys, listen, they're all having kids and families, and I think they're enjoying racing a lot more than say you and I did. I don't think I loved what I did. I don't know that you loved what you did. We loved winning. We loved what came along with winning, but I mean, listen, it's a different time and place.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Before we get to our next segment, I need to pay some bills here. Thank United Motorsports, six locations across Ohio, Kentucky. Check them out, unitedmotorsports.com. They are up, live, and running. Whether you need parts, apparel, or accessories, pretty cool company, great people. So if you're around Ohio or Kentucky, stop in. If you're not, check them out online. Like I said, some great people. They got to find a well-oiled machine running there. You can use the promo code TITLE24. It's site-wide for 10% off of all your purchases. So check them out, unitedmotorsports.com. And then, of course, Boxo USA, incredible company. You can use the promo code also for 10% off site-wide, Boxo USA. Dude, one thing other than how organized their toolboxes are and everything that you can get on their site, their lifetime warranty is absolutely epic. It's super easy process of getting a replacement tool. So check that out. And then, of course, quadlockcase.com. For whatever your phone case needs, or if you do adventure bike riding, I know I've talked about it several times, and you've seen them on my Tiger 900. They got killer cases. Keep your phone safe, and the vibration mount that they have, so your phone and your internal stabilizer for your camera doesn't get jacked up. I've lost a couple phones because of that from other cases, and Quadlock's got it figured out. So we appreciate everyone's support. Check them all out. Great, great companies, grassroots companies as well. So we appreciate all of your support. Glendale, it's going to be a good one. Triple Crown, you and I both, we love the Triple Crown. Here's how you can tune in right there. Race Day Live starts at 4:30 p.m. And then, of course, Peacock at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be live. And then check out the Encore, 1 a.m. on CNBC. It's going to be good, RV. But before we get going and we talk about who we think is going to be hot, one of the special moments for me going to Glendale, I just think about 2005 and my first win. Super emotional. You can see it right here for the people that aren't watching and listening. We're playing a replay from, this is back at Bank One Ballpark. It was my first Supercross, AMA Supercross win on the Suzuki. A lot of emotions. I remember when I left Factory Honda and I wasn't able to race in 04 because I had a torn ACL. This was my first race that I had won. Been a long time since Suzuki had been able to do that, but people thought it was a career-ending move. You know, it was a bold move, but I did my homework behind the scenes. Roger DeCosta and everyone at Suzuki had supported me and were going to bring me the goods. Is basically a carbon copy of what the Yamaha and Chad Reed was racing. And I knew if I could be on the same equipment as he was, I would have a great, great opportunity, great shot to possibly beat him in the championship. So those are some great vibes for sure. And I think that's where I got my first premier Supercross podium in 2000. I was on Factory Cowie at the time. So that was obviously special. And for URV, how about you got any special moments at
So I think, well, I just to touch on 05 for you, like I'm looking at some of the stats right here from old Rich Lane that he provided me. Correct, his last major win for Suzuki was like 99 with Larry.
Really?
Ward.
Yeah, it was a while, dude.
It was a long time, right?
Yes.
for that brand to win. So you know, obviously leaving Factory Honda, everybody knows that Factory Honda's got a stigma around it, like, you know, a good one that is very, very high level, and then making the move to Suzuki. Mm-hmm. And you know, got to look at it and say, shit, they haven't won since 99. Is this a good decision?
Yeah.
You know, right. And obviously it worked, you know, it worked out. You put her up on top, you know? So, yeah. So Phoenix, I've always really liked Phoenix. I've raced in Bank One with the pool. I can remember the pool. Never jumped into the pool after a race win. Should have done that. Damn it.
I know, right? But, it's like you go
never,
back. And
never
like,
did it.
Damn, why didn't I do that when I was there?
You know, you look back and like, man, that would have been some awesome photos. Awesome photos.
No
but
kidding.
Yeah, I think we have a replay of myself, Dunge, and Brayton coming out in opening ceremonies here. Funny story about this, running the very inside of the whoops here. And par for that was I ended up running Dunlop had a tire called the 62, and it was a really soft carcass tire. And it worked really, really well with the Kawasaki, and I loved the tire, but we knew it didn't have a real long lifespan to it. So I said, hey, I'm super comfortable with this tire, but I know it's going to shred by the end of the race. So we ended up passing Brayton with, I believe it was the last lap, which, you know, I think if you, that was years before Brayton got his win at Daytona. So sorry about that, Justin, took away your win. That could have been years before Daytona. The Daytona one, but yeah, I was able to pull off and there was no knobs left on the tire, but I chose that tire because I could slide around with the bike. I very predictable. It worked well on the Kawasaki, but funny, everybody's like, even the guys at Dunlop are like, dude, you sure you want to run this? And I'm like, yeah, I have to run it. I ride best with it. I know exactly what it's going to do, and I can manage the tire falling apart. And I'd rather manage a tire falling apart than stick of tire that I know will last the whole race on, but I'm not that comfortable on. So we ended up doing that, and yeah, pulled off that track, pulled up to the podium, looked down, and there relatively most of the knobs were gone. So pretty crazy.
That's an awesome story. That's an awesome story. Yeah, that's the vibe there at Phoenix is good. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that story. Harvey and I were sitting around with our crew here at Title 24, like, man, we should try to share some stories that our listeners and viewers might like and reminisce about the old days and what we love about certain venues that we go to. So hopefully you like that. Some cool B-roll. Looking to Glendale, the Futures, that'll be exciting. So if you guys didn't know, the Futures are going to be there. Triple Crown, what are you looking forward to going into Glendale?
Well, I think you mentioned, I'm a huge, not a huge, but very, I do really like the Triple Crown, keeps it very interesting. As for the Futures coming up, we have Ryder D coming in, you know, ended up hurting his thumb early in the season from what we've gathered. And then was supposed to be at Anaheim 2, which would have been Futures, their round one for Futures, but little mishap. But, you know, I'm sure everybody's followed the amateur battles back and forth. It was the Deegan and Ryder battles were a lot like mine and Alessi's battles, you know, coming up through amateur. So a lot of history there. And it's great to see these kids moving up and putting themselves in a position to be the next, you know, Lights champion. So that's going to be a lot of Juju's going to be back in it. Dax Bennett's going to be there. So a lot of promising kids coming up. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a great, for some of these guys that may not have rides for next year, it's a great opportunity for them to display their talent. You know, all the brass is going to be there, team managers, owners. It's a great opportunity for those guys to, yeah, like I said, showcase their talents and possibly lock themselves into a deal for next year. It's anybody's race, Triple Crown. We talk about it all the time. I mean, I love it. I'm going to be in the booth. You'll probably be sitting there watching with an adult beverage.
We'll see. Maybe I'll join you in the booth for a quick sec.
Yeah, Rick. Come on. I'm not going to speculate on who's going to win. It's crunch time. Straight up, I think, this is what we're talking about. So I do feel like one of the guys, title contenders that are able to start off quick on this last little six race stretch, the guy that is able to get back into that form that they were in, even with right before the week off, I think will have a slight advantage early on. That and maybe I'm saying that because that's how I kind of approach it. I'm like, okay, I got to get back in there mentally and get back to where I was. So I think that for the 450, that's going to be key. That's what I'll be looking for. I think those guys are going to be jockeying for position. I really do feel like that. Like one guy's going to get a good start. They're going to have to execute every part of their game, in my opinion, at this point. Jet's going to do Jet. Still an opportunity for guys like Cameron to get up there and win. They were close. RJ Hampshire as well. Jet's never won a Triple Crown. So they got that lingering as well. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think going to Phoenix there, it tends to, I don't know what you think about the dirt, but it tends to depend on how they build the track, but little bit, you get a lot of sliding going. It's a faster track typically. I feel it doesn't really rut up too bad. They'll put a lot of water on it during practice and it'll get pretty broken down and bad during third practice. But night show comes around. It's supposed to be warm out there. I think I checked the weather. It's in the 90s, so it's going to be nice and warm. It's going to be, you know, track's probably going to be a bit dry, like I said, and technical in that way. We really haven't had a dry slick track this year yet. We get Anaheim after the monster trucks go into it, and it's more of a greasy, slippery a lot of times. Where this is going to be a hard pack slippery, more of a blue groove. So something we haven't seen this season yet. And it's going to be interesting to see.
And fast track.
And fast track. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, okay, we've kind of talked a little bit about Cooper's bike versus Eli's bike and what we think is maybe a little bit better in certain conditions. Maybe this is somewhere where that's going to really shine on that harder pack, you know, track and see where Coop can what he can pull out of his hat, you know, here at Phoenix.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thank you everybody for listening, watching. Remember, please subscribe wherever you download your podcast or watch it. You can watch it on Motorsports on NBC YouTube page or NBCSports.com or Peacock. We appreciate your support. Make sure you, like I said, subscribe, comment. We really do go through all of those, most of the comments. We proved that today, and we love it. It gives us something to talk about, and we love hearing your guys' insight, whether it's negative. Of course, we love positive folks as well. But thanks again to our partners in RV. It's going to be a good one, and we're going to do it again next week. I'm sure the boys are going to give us something to talk about.
That's right. Can't not after Triple Crown. This is what it is. It promotes good racing and lots of conversation and topics.
We'll see you next week, guys.